This is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
I'm Gary Knoll. I'm hopeful that you will stay tuned for the next hour because I'm going to be sharing with you a brand new premium, brand new information, one that I personally believe could improve your life and save your life. Information that has not been made public. You're getting it exclusively here on WBAI First. But this is information that comes from a group of doctors and scientists who've been working from the very beginning on COVID. Now, these are all pro-vaccine. They've gotten the vaccine themselves, orthodox doctors. So there's no politics involved about vaccinate or don't vaccinate because I believe in freedom of choice. I am going to support you and have my own family and friends, whether they vaccinated or didn't vaccinate. I just want people to use informed information, good information, before they make their choice. What if we get the wrong information and make the wrong choice? So there's no criticism for people who got vaccinated and now have second thoughts or have had adverse effects. What we should do is just feel empathetic towards them and then provide them with information that can help them with their condition. If you've had long COVID, good information coming your way. If you've had side effects that no one's been able to help you with, good information coming your way. If you have been vaccinated and have not had side effects, which we hope, but are fearful that you will get them because now a lot of information is coming out about it can take years before this adversity manifests in everyone's body, there's good information coming your way. And if you have not been vaccinated and want to stay healthy, or if you should get sick, maximize your chance of not going to a hospital and dying, there's good information. So everybody on the spectrum is going to be helped today. I want my documentaries to be upbeat, hopeful, with a positive solution. Whether it's science for hire or the drug of our children. I talk about the problem, then I talk about the solution here. I'm not going to go into the problem. I'm going to talk about the solutions. Now, I'm going to be doing the program here, and at the very end, you'll hear a short clip from Linda Parrish. She'll be coming on, but I'm just doing this myself. And I'm going to just say this at the beginning. Here's the number to call for the $75 premium. The title of the premium is Gary Knoll's Rescue and Hope. I repeat, Gary Knoll's Rescue and Hope. Because I want you to be prepared. I want you to have insight information. I want you to have just really basic information. And all the information comes from the National Library of Medicine, from PubMed. And it's all from ultra-Orthodox doctors. In fact, my guest that you're going to hear from here throughout the show, we'll play clips from each one, or a couple of them at least. These are all mainstream, highly respected, world-class doctors and scientists. Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Anna Mahoslia, Dr. Pierre Corey, Dr. Paul Merrick, Bruce Curtis, and Henry Grayson. I can only play you, time permitting, about 10-minute clips from maybe two of these individuals. But here's the number you're going to call, because just like with life insurance or fire insurance or flood insurance, you want to have the insurance before there's an accident. You want to have this information before you're sick. You want to have this information if you are sick. Here's our number to call to get this premium. This, in my personal opinion, is a life-enhancing, life-saving premium. I'm not in the film, by the way. These people are. I only do an introduction, a four-hour film, and I only do like a couple-minute introduction. I say goodbye at the end. They are doing the talking, and I filmed this as if it were a classroom on the air where you could really get the information you needed and get it in depth. Then even the list of doctors around the country, and they have a list in the film of all the organizations that will help support you in getting these therapies. All right? So you won't feel, well, I'm over here in Brooklyn, or I'm out here in Staten Island, and I don't know any doctors. You will now. You'll have a list who support these protocols. Here's the number, pledge number. It's 212 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Now, this is what's going to make this pitch so much different. Outside of me giving you the phone number now, and I'm going to give it to you at the end of each clip, all you're going to have is my short introduction now and clip information. That's it. All right? I'm not going to be talking the whole hour. Lynn is not going to be talking. We're just going to do it differently because all these doctors have something in common. They're all orthodox. They're all pro-vaccine. They're all highly respected. They're some of the brightest and best scientists in the world. There's no controversy in their background whatsoever. They saved the patient's life in their own practice because they treated them early and they treated them with safe, efficacious, FDA-approved drugs and even some nutrients. All right? So I'm telling you up front what this is about. Think of all the suffering that's occurred, and people have no way of getting out of the suffering. The hospitals, the doctors don't know what to do with the patient because we were never told there would be all these side effects. Now there are. We weren't told that a lot of people will have long COVID. Now they do. So how do we help everyone? On a full spectrum, we help by going to the different doctors in here, looking at their protocols, and then seeing how we can have a connection. Even if we don't use it, you'll have a doctor, a phone number, you'll get the medications or the nutrients they say have at hand, because then if you get sick immediately, you're starting to help yourself. Better that than be unprepared. Would you agree? 212-209-2950. 212-209-50. That's it. You're not going to be hearing me much at all now, but you are going to be hearing the people who have saved thousands of lives, kept them out of the hospital, reversed their side effects, and reversed their long COVID, vaccinated or not. We're going to go first to a doctor who ended up almost dying. And because she was in the emergency room almost dying, she got herself out of the emergency room, went back to her clinic, and created therapies that helped her. She got long COVID. She overcame long COVID. She had dementia. Her brain had aged almost 20 years older than her biological age. She reversed that. Let's just call her Dr. Anna, MD, PhD. She's our first panelist who's going to talk to you now.
So let me just give a little bit of background. So as a clinician, I am a board-certified internal medicine physician, but because I've studied so many what's called alternative or complementary modalities, so I'm also a certified chelation practitioner, and I detox people from heavy metals, and I do metals testing. And so I'm very experienced in that type of clinical practice. And then I've done a lot of anti-aging modalities that I've implemented in my practice, including peptides and other things. So my view of this subject matter from a therapeutic standpoint and then from the investigative standpoint is unusual and much broader than maybe a lot of people are discussing. I'm also part of an international research collaboration that is investigating the context of these vials. And we are looking at live blood in dark field microscopy, because we have seen in those who are injected and in those now who are not injected, abnormal structures that also grow from the vials. So this is a lot to unpack, and I just want to give this background information so that people who may want to go to their regular board-certified internist, a lot of the things that I'm talking about may not be familiar with, and you may need a team to work with you. For example, someone who's certified in chelation or anti-aging, etc. So I've been in the C19 freedom movement for the last couple years. In my own community, I was treating people with the early treatment protocols that came out by Dr. Peter McCullough, by others like the FLCCs, and I developed with these protocols my own modalities of being able to support the immune system to help people, and I wanted to keep people out of the hospital when they were getting ill because I knew about the risks of things like remdesivir. So I changed my practice to where, for example, I had oxygen tanks that people rented. I treated respiratory failure at home successfully and utilized things like vitamin C infusions like Epithalon, which is a peptide, anti-aging peptide to help people once they were getting better. And I certainly saw how this picture was changing. And whenever what we were calling the Delta variant came in that was very, very severe, I saw extremely ill people and people who were in their 30s and their 40s, who had low oxygen levels, who had extreme fatigue, brain fog, all kinds of symptoms. And as I was observing this, I noticed that people were aging at an extremely rapid pace. So for me, I have an anti-aging practice, and it's all about, you know, making people feel better, have increased vitality. And I'm the author of a book called Light Medicine, A New Paradigm, The Science of Light, Spirit, and Longevity. And in this book, I've really looked at vitality and health from the perspective of electricity in the cell. And you can sort of think about it that if your mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell, have a lot of energy in them, then you feel filled with vitality and health and overall are functioning excellent. But if that mitochondrial function goes down, then the aging process, all processes of aging are accelerated. And so what I was observing is that there appeared to be a significant impairment in this mitochondrial function to where people, you know, even after they got over these symptoms, had such profound fatigue, you know, couldn't really function, and were aging by decades in months. And so observing that, I was thinking that maybe some of my treatments would be helpful. And I started developing protocol. They were more unique. And then Gary asked me about my own experience. So I got sick, and I was in respiratory failure within 2 days of getting symptoms with oxygen levels at like 86. I was endeavoring to stay out of the hospital. I treated myself with everything that I had, including ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. I was using high-dose vitamin C, vitamin D, quercetin, methylene blue, which I'll talk a little bit about later. These peptides like Epithalon, GHK, copper, I used everything, and because I was so ill, life-threatening ill, I had to go to the hospital. I did refuse intubation and remdesivir, and after being hospitalized for a week, I was able to return home, but I was extremely debilitated. And after about a couple months, I started having extreme neurocognitive symptoms, difficulty finding words, speaking, very, very challenging, and ultimately was not able to return to work and practice. And I was very, very disturbed. I was, you know, trying to help myself or diagnose myself because the doctors certainly didn't know what the heck was going on. I thought maybe I had prion disease or something like that. So I have two very interesting pieces of technology in my office. One is the WAVI brain EEG, and that is a functional EEG that allows to look at different parameters, for example, the amplitude of the brain waves, look at a brain map, which areas of the brain are affected, look at functionality, processing speed. So I have always, because I've always taken very good care of myself, you know, my brain age was always around 20 years young, if you were to quantify that. And what I had noticed was that with whatever was going on, my brain had aged 30 years in 2 months from a functional standpoint, from the ability to process information. And so when I saw that and I realized, it's like, look, you know, everything in my life here is on the line, I said, I need to find out, you know. So first of all, what is neuro-COVID? I had never heard about it. And then I saw in the literature there started to emerge that other people had found it, that there were all kinds of symptoms from, you know, depression, anxiety, to extreme cognitive dysfunction, people unable to return to work. And so then after seeing that brain EEG, I put myself on my anti-aging protocol. So I used a lot of infusion therapy, high dose vitamin C, alternating with chelation, EDTA chelation therapy. I used a lot of peptides. So Epithalon in particular has had phenomenal results for myself and for my patients. Epithalon lengthens telomeres. And it was found about 30 years ago in Russia. The Russian military was investigating ways of how they could help their army recruits that were in nuclear submarines. And they were observing extremely accelerated aging process in young people because of the radiation. And so they had cataracts, they had high blood pressure, they had heart problems, cognitive dysfunction. And so they isolated this pineal gland peptide and saw that it was able to reverse this damage.
That was Dr. Anna. Again, real story, real doctor, a real hero, helping countless people. The number to call to get our premium, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Our next panelist, I'm going to go right to the next panelist. Our next panelist is Dr. Peter McCullough, one of the world's, if not the world's, leading cardiologists, nephrologists. He's the most cited cardiologist in world history, professor of medicine, and 3 different board certifications. I mean, he is at the inner sanctum table of the best and brightest scientists and physicians in the world, in history. Those are the people I chose, the best of the best, because I believe you deserve the best of the best. All right, now we're going to Dr. Peter McCullough.
I guess the top line conclusion is that the global mass vaccination program for COVID-19 has been an unqualified debacle. We always consider safety first. There have been record numbers of deaths, injuries, and disabilities that have occurred after the vaccine, unlike any other medicinal product introduced in the history of mankind. Just to zero in on U.S. data and put a punctuation mark on this, our CDC keeps the vaccine adverse event reporting system. This is a system that the CDC verifies each and every death reported to them. We know 86% of the time doctors, nurses, coroners, they're reporting to VAERS. It's an onerous reporting system. Shockingly, as of December 9th, 2022, our CDC has recorded 15,732 Americans that have died shortly after the vaccine. 22% of them have died within 96 hours of taking the vaccine. There's now a long tail of deaths as more and more reporting. By FDA testimony, multiple experts have tried to estimate the underreporting factor for this. That means a large number of deaths. If the vaccine card isn't available, it simply can't be reported into the database. The underreporting factor is estimated to be at 30. That's probably conservative. So 30 times 15,000, That means the estimate is 450,000 Americans have died after COVID-19 vaccination, and that the deaths, as they're rigorously analyzed in terms of the vignettes and VAERS, as done by McLachlan and colleagues early in the pandemic, 86% of the time, there is no other explanation outside of the vaccine. We now see autopsy data, a paper by Schwab and colleagues from Heidelberg, Germany, people who have died within 20 days of taking the vaccine. 71% of the time, it is a known and acknowledged fatal vaccine complication, such as myocarditis, heart damage and inflammation, fatal blood clots, fatal intracranial hemorrhages or neurologic syndromes. So from autopsy data to the big electronic databases, the VAERS system, UK yellow card system, the EU UGIS system, WHO VigiSafe system, 39 systems across the world, every single one is ringing alarm bells. They've been doing this since January of 2021. Now we have multiple calls to pull the vaccines off the market. World Council for Health, June 11th, 2022, after multiple stern warnings, declared pull them off the market, not unsafe for human use. I've just testified in the U.S. Senate December 7th, 2022, after multiple stern warnings, including my Texas Senate testimony you mentioned, March of 2021. I have officially called for all the vaccines to be pulled off the U.S. market. Andrew Brigden, member of parliament in the U.K., also called for all the vaccines to be repulled off the U.K. market. Malcolm Roberts in Australia, Christine Anderson in the Germany, the EU Parliament, and across India now. So, Gary, I am telling you, there are worldwide authoritative calls to pull all the COVID-19 vaccines off the market. There has always been a duty to treat or a duty to refer. Anytime a patient who has a potentially fatal disorder presents to a doctor, there is a duty to treat that patient, to do everything humanly possible to save that life. And if a doctor can't do it, to refer to someone who could. And there is always a community standard of care, always. And the community standard of care is determined by doctors who are treating patients using the skill and the art of medicine, interpreting the literature, using available drugs, other interventions. And the community standard of care can start with a single doctor in a single community, and then it builds and it changes over time. But none of these two principles of medicine in any way can be impeded or shaped or influenced by state medical boards, by U.S. federal agencies, CDC, NIH, and FDA. And historically, they have played no role in the duty to treat or the community standard of care. None. So for the first time in this novel coronavirus pandemic, for the very first time, we saw these agencies impairing community standard of care. This was a stunning result as doctors in my circles, and you're right, I estimate about 500 doctors out of a million stepped forward and attempted to reduce two bad outcomes in this illness, hospitalization and death. And as we did so, we used the best drugs in our toolbox to do this. We followed clear FDA guidance in 2018 on the FDA website. It says specifically doctors should use available drugs, even off their original advertising labels, when they find it them filling an unmet need. And initially, we used products like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, and it evolved over time. We found useful virucidal nasal sprays and oral gargles and oral anti-inflammatories, corticosteroids, anticoagulants. And we did the best we could. We innovated with our protocols. I was the first to publish a treatment protocol in a major peer-reviewed journal, the American Journal of Medicine, in August of 2020. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons had a full home treatment guide by October of 2020. Frontline Critical Care Network, a totally different group, had the very first inpatient protocol in March of 2020. They had published on their website. Didier Rialt in France and Matthew Lagier and Dr. Milan opened up a treatment field hospital in Marseille and began to publish their work. They treated thousands of individuals. George Fried and Brian Tyson treated thousands of patients in South Central California and published a monograph in their book of their data. So what I'm telling you is all over the world, doctors concluded to the best of their ability, using drugs in sequence combination, following the limited randomized trials and observational data, that we could prevent hospitalization and death. And this was capstoned in a paper by Gugliaklis and colleagues in December of 2020 that concluded that by December of 2020, we had clear and convincing evidence, that means a p-value less than 0.01, that early treatment was substantially reducing the risks of hospitalization and death in patients with acute COVID-19. And that's what it was all about. Sadly, what happened is the majority of patients who are hospitalized and died with this illness received no early treatment. And a paper by Verdkirk and colleagues, thousands of patients undergone a survey, those who are hospitalized and died by their own report received no early treatment. We found even patients who received some outpatient early treatment, and it didn't really matter the exact combination of drugs, but we had to address viral replication, inflammation, and thrombosis, blood clotting, that if they got a form of combination treatment, even in hospital outcomes, they were survivable. What we found is that our National Institutes of Health put out the first guideline October of 2020, and the guideline said patients should not be treated as an outpatient. They completely contradicted my published McCullough protocol and the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. This is the first time the government directly contraindicates and directly contradicts a physician organization. They say that patients should not receive any treatment whatsoever. They can come in the hospital and still receive no treatment whatsoever until they go on oxygen, and then they receive remdesivir. Remdesivir was one of the first emergency use authorized inpatient drugs. It's an intravenous polymerase inhibitor, but the clinical trials quickly demonstrated that it didn't work. And the WHO, which did the largest study on remdesivir, held an urgent meeting in November of 2020, reviewed all the data, had a human ethics panel, European Society of Critical Care, carefully vetted, and much to, I think, their disappointment, but also to their integrity, they declared that remdesivir should not be used in hospitalized patients with COVID-19. This is a very strong warning from a worldwide agency. November 2020. At that time, every single state in the United States, every single country should have pulled remdesivir off the shelves. It should not have been used. And what happened in the United States will go down in history as one of the most disastrous decisions. The Department of Health and Human Services, at that time led by Alex Azar, put a 20% bonus on the entire reimbursement for hospitalization in the United States and strongly incentivized and promoted the use of remdesivir, despite it not improving outcomes and having known toxicity causing renal damage, renal failure, and hepatic failure. Now, this went on in the United States, and remdesivir undoubtedly worsened hospital outcomes. They did not improve it. The WHO revisited their decision in May of 2022 and published in Lancet, the WHO Solidarity Group, to see if they were right, because more studies were done. And they concluded they were right, that remdesivir indeed did not improve mortality and had considerable toxicities. The estimates are 94% of Americans have already had COVID-19. So they've already been through the illness. So in a sense, the illness has swept through our country.
That was Dr. Peter McCullough. Dr. Peter McCullough, one of the world's, if not the world's, leading cardiologists, nephrologists. He's the most cited cardiologist in world history, professor of medicine, and three different board certifications. I mean, he is at the inner sanctum table of the best and brightest scientists and physicians in the world, in history. Again, each one of these doctors are giving you their protocols. These are not my protocols. They're theirs, and they work. Now we're going to another person, but first, here's the number. Call in now, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and get this four-hour information-packed, upbeat, positive, insightful, inspiring documentary. You're going to enjoy it, and it could save your life, because it's giving you the tools you need, no matter what the circumstances or background. This information is meant to help you. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. The film is Gary Nall's Rescue and Hope. And here's the number you're going to call, because just like with life insurance or fire insurance or flood insurance, you want to have the insurance before there's an accident. You want to have this information before you're sick. You want to have this information if you are sick. Here's our number to call, to get this premium. This, in my personal opinion, is a life-enhancing, life-saving premium. 212-209-2950. 212-209-50. The film is Gary Null's Rescue and Hope. Our next panelist is Dr. Pierre Corey. Dr. Pierre Corey, MD, 3 board certifications. Let's hear from him now.
What we've done, I would say, in the last 6 to 8 months, and me in my private practice, I have a telemedicine practice, which is solely focused on not only treating acute COVID, but largely on the treatment of long haulers and vaccine injured. And then, so that's my private practice. And then my nonprofit, right, flccc.net, you know, there's where we do the research and we put together protocols and guides for things that we have found work, either based on the science or clinical experience and really the totality of the evidence. So this is a topic area that I've been immersed with, you know, and so here's what I will say. We keep seeing voids in the system that need to be filled. There's no good guidance on long haul. There's no approved treatments. And then you bring up the vaccine injury, which is truly, without overstating, a dystopian nightmare, what's happening with the system. And I just want to say a couple of words of, because you touch on some of the issues we are about how they're being, you know, the vaccine injury is being ignored and suppressed. But at this point, from where I sit, immersing myself in COVID, COVID data, vaccine injuries, my conclusion, I'm giving you my professional opinion, is not only is the campaign must stop, but patients, in order to protect their health at all costs, need to avoid any further COVID mRNA vaccination, period. There, like you said, you even said that, there is no science to support it. In fact, it is not even close. The totality of the data and evidence that is available before us shows us not only that the vaccines are ineffective, they have a negative effect, efficacy. You are more likely to get the disease. This whole narrative that of the preventing hospitalization and death is thoroughly debunked. It does not do that. And they are the most toxic and lethal medical intervention in the history of medicine that I can see. And this is a global scale that they've been deployed. All right. So those two issues of vaccine injury and long haul is another epidemic, right? And you're right. It can happen in the unvaccinated. It can happen in the vaccinated. And so your first question was around sort of natural immunity and vaccination. So that one's fairly simple. Again, I just have to be negative because all I've seen is just immense corruption that was really geared toward targeting, promoting the vaccination campaign and suppressing early treatment options. And these are time-honored incentives, right? I mean, these are companies. We literally have the pharmaceutical industry running this show. They run this show through agencies which have been captured, documented over decades, that they literally run those health agencies. And all of our policies have admitted, have come out, and the cruxes of them are vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. They created a $100 billion vaccine industry through this pandemic and suppress, destroy, and distort early treatment options because you want to preserve the markets for these farces like molnupiravir and Paxlovid. Okay. In those campaigns with those objectives, they literally did something I didn't think was possible. Overnight, they convinced nearly all the world's advanced health economies to ignore natural immunity. Somehow we were to believe that having just recovered from COVID, that immunity was suboptimal and needed to be augmented by a vaccine. There's no science or logic to support that. And in fact, the evidence quickly came out that the naturally immune were far better protected and much safer than those vaccinated. And so those with natural immunity, that's the easy one. Do not get vaccinated. There's no rationale for that. How much protection is natural immunity going to afford you? Well, I will just summarize the data to say this. The reinfection, so your risk of reinfection is greatly reduced. It's not zero. Certainly, many people still get reinfected, but the overall evidence shows that with each subsequent reinfection, it's generally milder. And now many people who've had it 2 or 3 times, oftentimes their last episode was like kind of a mild cold. I mean, for many people, and natural immunity is abundant throughout society. And so natural immunity is something I think you should be confident in. Certainly there's other things like you talked about with your partner, things that you can do to augment, optimize your immune system, to weather it even better. So there are approaches to just kind of protect, optimize your immune system and rely on your natural immunity. So that's an easy one. Long haul syndrome and post-vaccination syndrome, I'll address both together because there's a lot of overlap. Our research on what underlies these syndromes is really centered around the spike protein as a highly pathogenic, or pathogenic is something that causes illness or symptoms or disease, right? The spike protein is a pathogen. It literally disturbs the body and it triggers numerous mechanistic pathologic processes, from activation of macrophages with hyperinflammation. It generates autoimmunity. The antibodies to the spike cross-react with our own tissues. It causes all sorts of disturbances in our coagulation system, and we're seeing this phenomenon called microclotting. It's activating mast cells, which generate sort of allergic reactions, but mast cells can be in a lot of tissues, and they can cause myriad symptoms when activated. We see reactivation of latent viruses. We see mitochondrial dysfunction. Mitochondria are the energy-producing units of each cell. You know, each cell has to make energy in order to function properly. And we're seeing diseased mitochondria. And so we see a lot of symptoms related to that. And then we also see some nitric oxide pathways. So I don't want to get too geeky, but what we started with is we amassed all of the science. Our most recent manual, sort of researching these two syndromes, we're well over 400 references. Now, most of the references are taken from in vitro, basic science, immunology, in second and third tier journals, because something you had mentioned too. I mean, the propaganda and censorship around these vaccines, I mean, you in the high impact journals, there is no publication, with few exceptions, there's almost no publications really describing the scope and the scale of the damages of this vaccine. They're generally positive vaccine studies. There's almost no research on how to treat or approach or understand spike protein-induced disease, which is kind of how I summarize those two conditions. And so we've really had to like catch as catch can and just look wherever we could for scientists, conflict of interest free objective investigations into the effects of the spike protein. And so we've kind of tried to amass that. And with the knowledge of those mechanisms, we have sought medicines or treatments whose mechanisms of action counteract or can control those processes. And so we have, dozens of possible therapies. Now, none of these are proven, right? I'm using my air quotes there. I don't know probably for decades if you'll ever get proven. And I'll tell you, my guess, knowing what I know now, is that the first proven therapy for either of these two syndromes, I will guarantee you, will be an on-patent pharmaceutical product. And you'll see another war on any other alternative, not alternative, I would say repurposed or generic treatments. I would say our protocols are all repurposed generic available treatments. Knowing those mechanisms and how do we approach them. So in my practice now, I've been in practice for almost a year. Myself and my partner, we manage well over 400 patients with these two conditions. And let me just say at the outset, they are extremely ill, the patients who come to me. Most of them are suffering some sort of disability, meaning their prior functioning and lives that they were leading, they can no longer lead. Some have mild to moderate deficits in functioning, and many are almost completely disabled, if not completely disabled, cannot leave their house. And I cannot tell you the proportion of my practice of patients that I see under the age of 50, educated, careers, kids, ate healthy, exercised, who now can't leave their house because of the deleterious effects of the spike protein, whether you got it from the vaccine or the long haul or from the natural infection. I will tell you, on average, my vaccine injured are far sicker than my long haulers. And the other thing is, long haulers, I've noticed, they do respond better to the passage of time. I definitely see more improvements over time with long haulers, both with and without treatment. The vaccine injured are, I don't see, they definitely will improve slightly over time. And the body's a beautiful and complex and amazing, you know, system. And it can heal itself. But the vaccine injured are, I would say, categorically more difficult to treat. And so I collaborate with a number of physicians, many of whom, so I was a hospital doctor. I was an ICU doctor. I did have an outpatient practice, but it was focused largely on lung disease. I haven't practiced general internal medicine in probably 15 years, but now I'm really more of a general medical doctor. And so I've had to like sort of review and learn things. And I'm collaborating with doctors who've been treating complex chronic illnesses for decades, and I'm learning a lot from them. So I'm almost like in a second education phase of my career. And basically, upon not only clinical experiences, but knowledge of all these mechanisms and processes, my general approach to both syndromes, when I see a patient who comes to me with persistent symptoms after one of those two events, right, could be from COVID or from the vaccine, generally, my diagnosis is based on finding a constellation of symptoms that develop in temporal association to one of those events. And temporal meaning, you know, associated by time. And I would say in both syndromes, I see kind of three cohorts of patients. So for instance, if you take the vaccine, I have some patients whose symptoms began within seconds to minutes of the vaccine and persist. And it can persist for a long time. Many of my patients are seeing me after being sick for a year. I have another cohort where they might have a little bit of a rough time or really no problem with the vaccine, or, you know, maybe a sore arm, a little fever, a little flu-like illness, they get better. And then over days to the next weeks, they suddenly develop this bizarre constellation of symptoms. And then a third cohort, it may be weeks to months later. Generally, most people develop symptoms within 3 months. I have a couple of outliers where they were really well for a long period, but they did develop much more of a classic syndrome even later. So I have a couple of outliers there, but that's generally the temporal association. And that also applies to long haul. You know, like I have some people who, like I call them, you know, do not pass go. They went from acute COVID into long haul. Most people actually recover from acute COVID to a significant extent, and then develop these constellation of symptoms. So what are those constellation of symptoms? So I sort of talk about the three cardinal symptoms, and then there's a whole ancillary adjunctive set. But the three most common that I see in almost everyone who presents, the big three are number one, fatigue. Some amount of fatigue, just loss of energy, and it's generally combined with something we call post-exertional malaise, meaning when they try to exert themselves, they try to do their former level of activity, their symptoms completely flare and get worse. So, for instance, I saw someone yesterday, a young woman who went out with her boyfriend. She's been sick for a year. She went out with her boyfriend on New Year's Eve just for 2 hours. They had a nice evening, but she was in bed the entire day the next day from just a pleasant kind of outing with her boyfriend for 2 hours. And I see that over and over again. So you see fatigue, post-exertional malaise. And then the third most common is some sort of neurological deficit. We kind of use this term brain fog, which I kind of subtype into either memory deficits, processing deficits, concentration deficits, word-finding difficulties. But they all feel off. They don't feel like their brain is anywhere near to what they've normally enjoyed as a cognitive performance. So those are the big three. And then those ancillary ones that I see a lot of what a condition called POTS, which is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, which is also known as autonomic dysfunction. So that part of the nervous system, which controls our heart rate and our blood pressure, is dysfunctional. And so you have these patients with these high resting heart rates. They try to walk across the room. Their heart rate goes to 150 or 160. So they can't really do much. They feel very uncomfortable, or they stand up from a chair. They get really lightheaded.
Dr. Pierre Corey. Dr. Pierre Corey, MD, 3 board certifications. Let's help ourselves. This information is meant to help you. 212-209-2950. 212-209-50. The film is Gary Null's Rescue and Hope. Here's the number you're going to call, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, just like with life insurance or fire insurance or flood insurance. You want to have the insurance before there's an accident. You want to have this information before you're sick. You want to have this information if you are sick. Here's our number to call to get this premium. This, in my personal opinion, is a life-enhancing, life-saving premium. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. The film is Gary Null's Rescue and Hope. And I filmed this as if it were a classroom on the air where you could really get the information you needed and get it in depth. Then you, and then even the list of doctors around the country, and they have a list in the film of all the organizations that will help support you in getting these therapies. All right? So you won't feel, well, I'm over here in Brooklyn, or I'm out here in Staten Island, and I don't know any doctors. You will now. You'll have a list who support this, these protocols. Here's the number, pledge number. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Now, I'm telling you up front what this is about. Think of all the suffering that's occurred, and people have no way of getting out of the suffering. The hospitals, the doctors don't know what to do with the patient because we were never told there would be all these side effects. Now there are. We weren't told that a lot of people will have long COVID. Now they do. So how do we help everyone? On a full spectrum, we help by going to the different doctors in here, looking at their protocols, and then seeing how we can have a connection. Even if we don't use it, you'll have a doctor, a phone number, you'll get the medications or the nutrients they say have at hand, because then if you get sick immediately, you're starting to help yourself. Better that than be unprepared. Would you agree? 212-209-2950. 212-209-50. That's it. You're not going to be hearing me much at all now, but you are going to be hearing the people who have saved thousands of lives, kept them out of the hospital, reversed their side effects, and reversed their long COVID, vaccinated or not. We're going to go first to a doctor who ended up almost dying. And because she was in the emergency room almost dying, she got herself out of the emergency room, went back to her clinic, and created therapies that helped her. She got long COVID. She overcame long COVID. She had dementia. Her brain had aged almost 20 years older than her biological age. She reversed that. Call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. The premium is called Rescue and Hope. Gary Null's Rescue and Hope. I'm not in the film. They are. And when was the last time you heard so much time given to just the what was inside of a film instead of the person pitching? That's what we're doing. I believe that you deserve to live a long and healthy life. That's why I've been on BAI sharing my insights for 46 years. The station needs to survive. This will help the station pay its payroll, which it can't do right now. So you're helping the station. You're helping yourself. I hope you never have to use the information, but if you do, you have it. I hope I never have to use my fire insurance, but if I have a fire, I have it. Let's be on the right side of prevention. Let's help ourselves. This information is meant to help you. 212-209-2950. 212-209-50. The film is Gary Null's Rescue and Hope. And that's our panel today. We're at the end of our hour. As I told you, this is unusual. This never happens on BAI where you don't hear the person pitching, but you hear what should be heard, the people who are the experts who are there to help you save lives, prevent disease, and if you are sick or have side effects, help you overcome them. Once again and finally, call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. The premium is called Rescue and Hope. Gary Null's Rescue and Hope. I'm not in the film. They are. And when was the last time you heard so much time given to just the what was inside of a film instead of the person pitching? That's what we're doing. I believe that you deserve to live a long and healthy life. That's why I've been on BAI sharing my insights for 46 years. the station needs to survive. This will help the station pay its payroll, which you can't do right now. So you're helping the station, you're helping yourself. I hope you never have to use the information, but if you do, you have it. I hope I never have to use my fire insurance, but if I have a fire, I have it. Let's be on the right side of prevention. Let's help ourselves. This information is meant to help you. 212-209-2950. 212-209-50. The film is Gary Null's Rescue and Hope. The number to call to get our premium, 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. I'm Gary Null. I'm telling you up front what this is about. Think of all the suffering that's occurred, and people have no way of getting out of the suffering. The hospitals, the doctors don't know what to do with the patient because we were never told there would be all these side effects. Now there are. We weren't told that a lot of people will have long COVID. Now they do. So how do we help everyone? On a full spectrum, we help by going to the different doctors in here, looking at their protocols, and then seeing how we can have a connection. Even if we don't use it, you'll have a doctor, a phone number, you'll get the medications or the nutrients they say have at hand, because then if you get sick immediately, you're starting to help yourself. Better that than be unprepared. Would you agree? 212-209-2950. 212-209-50. That's it. You're not going to be hearing me much at all now, but you are going to be hearing the people who have saved thousands of lives, kept them out of the hospital, reversed their side effects, and reversed their long COVID, vaccinated or not. We're going to go first to a doctor who ended up almost dying. And because she was in the emergency room almost dying, she got herself out of the emergency room, went back to her clinic, and created therapies that helped her. She got long COVID. She overcame long COVID. She had dementia. Her brain had aged almost 20 years older than her biological age. She reversed that. Let's just call her Dr. Anna, MD, PhD. She's our first panelist who's going to talk to you now. Once again and finally, call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. The premium is called Rescue and Hope. Gary Null's Rescue and Hope. I'm not in the film. They are. And when was the last time you heard so much time given to just the what was inside of a film instead of the person pitching? That's what we're doing. I believe that you deserve to live a long and healthy life. That's why I've been on BAI sharing my insights for 46 years. The station needs to survive. This will help the station. So you're helping the station, you're helping yourself. I hope you never have to use the information, but if you do, you have it. I hope I never have to use my fire insurance, but if I have a fire, I have it. Let's be on the right side of prevention. Let's help ourselves. This information is meant to help you. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. The film is Gary Null's Rescue and Hope. Thank you all for supporting the station. Thank you for listening to this hour. Have a nice day.
morning. You're tuned to 99.5 FM, WBAI in New York. This special edition of The Gary Nell Show came to you on recording over listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI in New York. Now, if you are that one in 10 who listens regularly to WBAI's programs but has yet to make a contribution to keep the station afloat, then that needs to change today. Please go to our website, give2WBAI.org, and sign up to become a WBAI buddy. $5, $10, $15, or whatever you can afford, will be deducted from your credit card or debit card on a monthly basis, and you'll have the satisfaction of knowing you finally did something to keep your favorite free speech community radio station alive. As the ladies of Voices of Resistance say on Sunday afternoons from 12 to 1, free speech radio is not free. So again, go to give2WBAI.org and become a WBAI buddy. Coming up at 8 o'clock is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. Please stay tuned.
This is the mic check for Cat Radio Cafe.
Testing.
Testing.
Tune into Cat Radio Cafe Tuesday night at 9 here on WBAI.
I'm Janet Coleman.
I'm David Dozer.
Displaced playwright on Tuesday, March 14th at 9 p.m. We'll be joined by composer librettist Olan Jones and Emmett Tinley to discuss their opera theater collaboration on Iceland, a recreation myth, a contemporary love story enmeshed in the mythic world of Iceland's Dark Night, or New Year's Eve.
Oh, yes, Tuesday night at 9 here on WBAI.
Cat Radio Cafe.
Hey, do cats drink coffee?
Cats from Iceland.
Ooh, cool cats.
Ah, you got that right.
The WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting is on Sunday, March 19th at 1 p.m. And you are invited to attend. The CAB, or CAB, is an advisory board which reviews programming and other station policies. It represents the diverse views and interests of the communities WBAI serves. If you want to attend the meeting, you can join by teleconference at 619-309-1058. And the PIN number is 641-711. Everyone is invited to call in and join the meeting, and we're happy that more people are now attending CAB meetings. Once again, the call-in number is 619-309-1058, and the PIN number 641-711. We hope that you'll be able to attend. That's the Community Advisory Board meeting, WBAI, March 19th, Sunday, 1 p.m.
Extinction Diaries. The number of Amur leopards in the wild is now estimated to be from 25 to 85 because of the difficulty monitoring them in East Russia, Northeast China, and maybe in North Korea. They are incredibly majestic, but their genetic variation is painfully low and the threat of extinction is severe. The Amur grows up to 5 feet long and 3 feet high with a lifespan of 15 to 21 years. Cubs weigh under a pound at birth and stay with their mother for up to 2 years. Until 1900, the Amur leopard range was widely across North Asia and the Korean Peninsula. Last century's deforestation and demand for the fur and body parts used in Asian traditional medicines killed entire populations. A captive program started in 1961 with 9 captured cats, expanded to 170 today. However, DNA has determined the program is corrupt with an unknown subspecies. Both wild and captive cats suffer from interbreeding that is reducing fertility. The Russians have rerouted a pipeline project and allowed anti-poaching teams to protect the magnificent cat. The world is watching. My name is Rising Moon, and this is a Small World Radio production.
Hi, this is Christian McBride, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.